From WTIP News, this is the North Shore Weekend News Roundup. I'm Jay Anderson, and here are some of the stories we've been following this week. Tom Wachholz, who heads Orb Management, is the county's choice to be the construction management team for the community center project. Wachholz said Orb would like to oversee all 1% projects. Wachholz met with county commissioners on Tuesday and will return on January 25th, when the county board will discuss approval of Orb's choice of architect for the new community center. Commissioners and Orb looked at three architecture firms, and it's the board's final choice. At that meeting, Wachholz will present a proposal for authorizing Orb to oversee all projects funded with 1% sales tax money. Commissioner Bruce Martinson said he understood that was Orb's intent, and County Attorney Tim Scannell said he had the same understanding. Wachholz briefly explained why one project's manager is a good idea.
The premise being that there is some value and some efficiencies directly related to saving money and time by having a central coordination effort, if you will, which we see some value to. And it doesn't mean that we have to dictate or run how the Birch Grove project goes, or the library, or the golf course, or whatever might come to light. But it does mean that we could be a central point of information. And because I know at some point in time, some of these projects need to be financed, you know, whether it's bond financing or what have you. I'm sure you don't want to do it 10 times. You want to do it as few times as possible. But when you look at activities, whether it's cost related, schedule related, consistency in documents, consistency in ideas, there might be an idea that comes up on one project that could be used on another project. There's just a whole list of things. And if you're willing and open to a discussion about that, I'd like to have that as part of my agenda next week.
If the board decides to proceed with Orb's choice of architect, they would be approving Meyer Group of Duluth. It's widely expected Meyer Group will not use Burbach Aquatics as its swimming pool designer. Since the city of Grand Marais is under contract with Burbach and would face a lawsuit if the pool is designed by another firm, Grand Marais could be out of the planning process for the municipal pool. In any event, the board will make their decision on an architect on January 25th. They may also make a decision to include the rest of the 1% projects under Orb's wing as well. The ISD 166 School Board looked at ways to improve vocational programs at Cook County Schools. The Great Expectations Board grappled with the good problem of class enrollment waiting lists. Both boards met earlier this week. Great Expectations Director Peter James said at Tuesday's meeting the board discussed how to keep GES classes to a workable size while continuing to meet increased requests for enrollment.
As people have known for a while, enrollment drives finances in terms of the funding per student. We also have, as charter schools, the ability to limit enrollment based on our charter to deliver a particular type of programming. In our case, what we're looking at now is how many students is the right number of students to provide the financial support we need as a school, to provide opportunities for the community, quite frankly. We're at a situation where we have waiting lists for classes, and do we open up more spots for the community? At the same time, how do we maintain the smaller class size that allows us to deliver the type of program that we're set up to do? So that's really the discussion at this point, is how do we find that right number? What's the right balance? What's the right class groupings to make that work?
James said the issue is to look at grade level rather than just the total number of students enrolled.
It really is looking at grade level, in part because of managing the class sizes, and then in part because of, you know, time passes. And so if you enroll students in kindergarten, then they're going to go hopefully become first graders and second and so forth. So to avoid creating unsustainable bubbles in enrollment or the challenges of real uneven enrollment, we have to look at that by grade level.
At ISD 166, Superintendent Beth Schwartz said the board is taking a new look at classes grouped under the heading Applied Arts. These include classes in industrial technology, culinary arts, and business courses. She said that group of classes is in a planning year.
We are talking about what we want kids who think they want to go into vocational careers, what sort of things do we need them to take? If a family comes to us or a student comes to us and says, I want to go to a four-year college, I know that's what I want to do. We have a very laid out, very articulated plan for them. When a child comes to us or a family comes to us and says, you know, I don't think my child wants to go to a four-year college, or the child themselves says, you know, I'm a sophomore. I really don't see myself going on to a four-year college. I want to look at a two-year school or perhaps going directly into the workforce. We don't have a very well articulated, here's what we think you should do. You know, you should be taking these courses. This would help you prepare for that. And so we're looking at that.
Schwartz said the district needs to get a plan in place, hopefully by April. Once accomplished, the school will turn to local tradespeople to help them design their vocational space.
For instance, if it's decided that welding needs to be a major portion of our long-term plan in industrial technology, then what do we need to do to bring our welding area up to speed? And I know these committees have been formed before, and I know people are frustrated because there wasn't follow-through on some of that. But I hope that the local tradesmen hear me say, when I say we are committed to improving our vocational vision and looking long term, that when this committee forms in April, we really do want your input, and we are going to be following through with bringing that vision to reality.
She said the district will also consider the state of the economy and changes in workforce needs. Grand Marais Arctic explorer Lonnie Dupree is poised to take the summit of Mount McKinley, also known as Denali. His support manager is Hovland resident Tom Supernot, who was interviewed by KTNA-FM Community Radio in Talkeetna, Alaska, on Tuesday, January 18th. In this edited version, Supernot said it's been cold and windy on the mountain, but that Lonnie is used to dealing with minus 50-degree temperatures and 100-mile-an-hour winds when he was heading to the North Pole.
I talked to him about 2 hours ago. He's dug in a Ranger Trench at 14.2. The plan was today to try to get to 70 or 17.2, but I had some high winds up there today, so I took a rest day.
Supernot said the day before the interview, Lonnie ran into very high winds.
He estimated probably 80, 85 mile an hour winds around Windy Corner. You know, he's pulling up sled. He's got a 14-foot aluminum ladder around his waist. Pretty much double ice axed in on the side and wait till the gusts died down, and then he would move another 20 feet and do it again. Well, he had that, you know, cold snap just a couple of days ago, and he had about 52 below the one night. But he's in there in a Ranger Trench or a snow cave, and so the temperatures in there were probably in the high 20s, yeah. And so he was very comfortable. Yeah.
There's not a lot of daylight time in Talkeetna, but the days are getting longer.
To start, we were just doing the 6 hours, but he's now with, we're getting a little more daylight, and we've got a full moon tonight or tomorrow night. So we'll have the opportunity, if it's clear skies, that we're going to start to push it into the twilight hours. But when he first started, when you have temperatures, you know, 40 to 50 below, being out in it for 6-7 hours is about all you want to be.
Supernot said they have a rough goal timeline to summit, but there is some leeway.
There's never been a summit in January by a solo climber, and you know that's the ridge, the overall goal. But the goal right now, it's January 18th. He's at 14.2. If we get to 17.2 in the next couple days, we'll be poised to do a summit. So you know, I had a rough prediction that we'd summit probably 24th, 25th of this month. And if we don't, you know, if he does get held up by weather, we're going to stick it out until he does summit. We've got 28 days of food, full rations. We could probably extend that to 42 days. And so we've been on the mountain 12 days.
The Talkeetna community turned out to wish Lonnie good luck. Supernot said it meant a lot.
We were, you know, well-received and met a lot of great people in Talkeetna. And right before he left, just a number of people that, you know, we just met had given him, you know, some mementos and incense and some things to carry to the mountain to give him good luck. And that really helps. We're, you know, sending him all the positive energy we can.
One of the good luck signs Lonnie uses is the raven. Supernot tells this story.
And he's got two raven feathers on the back of his windsuit that he has that he carries with him. And first day we'd flown up just to check out how he was doing. And I noticed there's a raven following him. And that night when I talked to him on the phone, he said, "Yeah, I saw that raven." You know, and I said, "Yeah, that's good juju, man." So it's But yeah, he had befriended a raven. He was up in the Arctic, or he was up in Greenland, and was sitting on a rock, and he was on one of his expeditions, which happened to be 22 months long, over 3 years, and, you know, they were kind of despondent and down, and, you know, this raven sat next to him on the rock, and it had some stuff around its leg, you know, some fish line and stuff, and the raven let him take the fish line off, you know, his foot, and then the raven took off and circled above him and circled and then came back and sat next to him on the rock.
The KTNA interviewers asked the obvious question, why is Lonnie doing this?
Yeah, that's a million-dollar question. And, I don't think I can answer it for him, but I think if you are an explorer and adventurer and there's a certain part within someone that, you know, I can understand it, but I can't explain it.
Tom Supernaut closed the interview with a shout-out to the locals.
Yeah, I'd just like to say hey to everybody at WTIP Radio, all the people down at the Gunflint Tavern, and, everybody out there, just thinking about you guys, and thanks for all the positive energy you're sending up here.
Big thank you to the folks at KTNA Community Radio in Talkeetna, Alaska. You've been listening to the North Shore Weekend News Wrap-Up. To hear more from the WTIP News team and to check out the full versions of our stories, visit us at WTIP.org. For North Shore Community Radio, I'm Jay Anderson, wishing you a great weekend.